you, everybody, for coming. This is going to be a combination of doing business and introductions, so bear with us, please. We're going to, this meeting will not be the way we typically run them, but we're delighted to welcome our new board members. So we'll combine the ritualistic with the introduction. So let's start with the ritualistic, and we'll do a call for orders.
Governor Bruce Rauner, Acting Secretary Randall Blankenhorn, Chair Wolf,
here.
Director Bank,
here.
Director Dotson,
here.
Director Gomez,
here.
Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Johnson,
here.
Director Sauer,
here.
Director Schillerstrom,
here.
Director Sweeney,
here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. So for starters, we're on the air. Just so you know, we're broadcast live. While the sign up is over there that says we're on the air, the camera is over there. So if you want to wave to your friends and family, this is the direction to do that. We are recorded. And when we go into executive session, we're no longer on camera, but we do have our 1953 tape recorders that we use in order to have records of those meetings. So the next thing on the agenda is public comment. I've not been notified that anyone is here to do public comment. Is there anybody who would like to make a public comment? No. Okay, well then let's turn to the next thing on the agenda, which is the chair responsibility. And I'd like to start first by congratulating and thanking the new board members. We're delighted that you're here. Okay. Thank you. This is what we call a written audible. I also wanted to thank Governor Rauner for the appointments that he's made. We're really excited about welcoming new people. So I thought what we'd do, which is also not a usual part of our board meeting, obviously, is to go around and introduce ourselves, but we can put some names with faces, if that's okay. We have a combination of directors and staff and some public people here. And so I'm Paula Wolf. I'm from Chicago, and my real job is director of the Illinois Justice Project.
I'm Christy LaFleur. I'm the executive director of the Illinois Tollway.
I'm Craig Johnson. I'm the mayor of Elk Grove Village, and I own the Johnson Insurance Agency.
David Gonzalez, mayor of Chicago Heights, partner at GW & Associates CPA.
Mike Stone, I'm the chief of staff for the Tollway.
David Goldberg, general counsel for the Tollway.
Deborah Allen, chief of administration for the Tollway.
Nancy Gerasi, senior network administrator for the Tollway.
Christy Ragnari, administrative manager to the board and board secretary.
Joe Cavage, chief of IT for the Tollway.
Shauna Whitehead, chief of business systems for the Tollway.
Joseph Gomez, I'm with Byline Bank.
Jim Banks, director from Chicago. I'm an attorney in Chicago.
Jim Sweeney, president of Local 150 Operators.
Earl Dotson, Jr., director for the Rockford area and chief communications officer for the Rockford Public School District.
Nick Sauer, director, Lake County board member, is the other job. And a company called Sauer Kitchen Solutions, Scarsdale Marketing, the real game.
Paul Kovacs, chief engineer for the Tollway.
Gustavo Giraldo, I'm chief of diversity and strategic development for the Tollway.
David Schneider, lieutenant, Illinois State Police.
Chief of Internal Audit for the Tollway.
Wendy Abrams, Chief of Communications for the Tollway.
Jeff Redding, Chief of Toll Operations.
John Donato, Chief of Procurement for the Tollway.
Mike Kelsch, Chief of Finance for the Tollway.
I'm Bob Schillerstrom. I'm a new director. Happy to be here. I live in Naperville, and I'm a lawyer by trade with the law firm of Weiss Miller.
Thank you.
Let's go back here.
Joelle McGinnis, Tollway Communications.
Bill O'Connell, Tollway Bank Manager.
Lisa Williams, EEO Officer, Ethics Officer, and ADA Coordinator.
Kathy Williams, Deputy Chief of Finance for the Tollway.
Colleen McShane, Senior Manager of Program Development.
Hello, Danica Hollis, Executive Secretary of Christian Floor.
Rocco Zucchero, Planning Department.
Sharon Ferguson, Deputy Chief of Procurement.
Marlene Vick, Diversity and Strategic Development.
Hi, I'm Vicki Santiago. I'm the Senior State Purchasing Officer assigned to the Tollway.
Hello, Nicole Panetta Rogers. I'm assigned to the Tollway.
Good morning, Joanne Fenn, Land Acquisition Manager for the Tollway.
Good morning, Jim Wagner. I'm the Inspector General with the Tollway.
And Chris Armin with the Program Management Office.
Greg Stiffel, Deputy Chief of Engineering with Tollway.
Rob Richard with the Program Management Office.
Rick Yott, General Engineering Consultant.
Good morning, I'm Rafael Herrera with Discovery Incorporated, we're on the PMO team.
Good morning, Jonathan Hart, Traffic Engineering Consultant to the tollway.
Raymond Kumapli, SE3, GEC.
Bernal Stewart, SE3, GEC.
Dan Montgomery, Deputy Inspector General.
Bernard Nashif, Senior Project Engineer for the Engineering Department.
Dan Rozak, Senior Manager of Communications for the tollway.
And many of you know Marnie Pike from the Herald and Rich Ronsky from the Tribune. So the most important thing is what I baked this morning were raspberry muffins and blueberry muffins. They are over there. We also seem to have an abundance of chocolate in celebration of the arrival of the new director, so help yourselves at any time during the meeting. We do get beautifully fed. I just want to give you a setup on how the meeting's going to run today. There is the background of how the tollway functions. We do have a mission statement, which I will all see during the orientation. We have some principles that we've established among ourselves that we may want to review or change as the new board members come on. And we've established a system of setting up committees, so we have three standing committees that the tollway directors are members of. And typically what the committees do is vet the information that will come to the full board, and we will have a consent agenda on the items that have been through the committees. The committee chairs report at the beginning of the meetings, and then we go through the consent agenda. Since there are a number of new directors today, we're going to forego the or abbreviated reports on what the committees did, and then we're going to take each of the items on the agenda separately so that if the directors who obviously did not have an opportunity to be in the committees have questions about anything that's on their those items, they can ask them now. Everybody got the material in advance. I know a lot of you have read it and had good questions already, but I also know that there are nuances to things that you may want to ask about once you hear the presentation. So that's the way we're going to handle the meeting today. We always have, or typically have, an executive session that we'll go into to discuss things that are covered in the permissible in the executive session under the Open Meetings Act. We'll come back to the full board meeting and we'll vote on those things that have been decided in executive session. But we'll talk about those a little bit later on. And I just want to give a personal overview here. I was very misguided when I was appointed to the Tollway Board. I thought I was coming to an agency that was really messed up. In the first month I was here, I believe we had three Senate hearings investigating what was going on at the Tollway. There was quite a bit of turmoil about what was happening here. We had an inspector general who left. We created a new position. We hired Jim Wagner, and then later, a year later, or 6 months later, passed a bill which actually established the inspector general position. We had a general counsel who left. We got another great general counsel who was appointed by the attorney general, reports to the attorney general. I was completely misguided about what the agency was really like. When I got here, I discovered it's an incredibly well-run agency full of people who are completely dedicated to the work here and have been doing a wonderful job, all of them, for, as far as I can tell, for as long as they've been here, continue to do a wonderful job. It's really a superb place to be associated with. I've been involved with a lot of governments at different levels and with private sector companies, and I don't think there is any that's better than this one. I think it's really a tribute to the public sector, the quality of the work that goes on here. That's not to say that there are not things that we still do wrong and questions that we still have open that we have to decide, that it's going to require a lot of work by the new directors and the directors who are staying on. So we look forward to that, but I just wanted to, I guess, explain that I really had misguided is the only word I can use, misguided view of what the tollway was like when I got here, and I feel very good about the people who are here. As I said, we do try to be as open as we possibly can. We had the video streaming, and you've heard all of the people who make this happen. I also just want to call out the fact that Ms. Pike and Mr. Ronsky are here at almost all our meetings. There are other media who follow us, and having success watching us and asking questions is an important part of how this agency has worked, and appreciate the kinds of questions that have been raised and the answers that we always get from our staff. So I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. Other than to thank the directors for the new directors for filling out the paperwork and getting themselves started on this, we do want to make sure that you, if you haven't already, that you fill out the form about when you would like to do your orientation, whether you want a half day or a full day orientation. And so what you'll see today is going to be a blur. What you will get in the orientation, there will be a much fuller explanation of what's going on. But the way we'll do it is as we present each of the items in the agenda today, we'll ask the people who run the departments just to do a quick synopsis of their department so that you'll understand what the process is that got us to the point here that we're able to act on these items. And if at any time during the course of the agenda, if somebody has a question or is concerned about an item, we can pull it off the agenda. We don't have to vote on everything today if any new directors have questions. Okay? Thank you. So the first item is approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting and the executive session held April 23, 2015. May I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We usually don't abstain or recuse from the minutes. Thank you. We did also on the agenda have a motion to an item to review and approve the executive session minutes for public release. This is something we do about every 6 months under the Open Meeting Act. Because we haven't really had a full explanation of that and what's in those minutes, our general counsel, David Goldberg, suggested, and I think it's a great idea, we talk about that in executive session and see what the directors want to do about that. It's not a time imperative that we do it at this meeting, so we'd like a chance to talk about it in executive session. We have two committee reports. Why don't we start first with Finance, Administration, and Operations, which is the one that I went to and the other directors who were there are not here today. Usually this is much more detailed, but you'll hear all of these items separately, so I'll just say that we're going to have the financial quarterly review, which was quite positive. We're at $6.6 million higher than projected, and our operating expenses are down 1.6. We had one procurement item, we had 20 engineering items, and we had three items presented by legal, all of which you will hear. So I don't see any reason to go into any detail on that. And then Director Dotson was going to report on the customer service and planning.
Should I just go through my whatever I have here? Okay. The Customer Service and Planning Committee met last week on 5/21, and we discussed the following topics. We talked about the Central Tri-State Corridor Planning Council. Staff provided an update on the Central Tri-State Project and the formation of a Corridor Planning Council. The presentation was a follow-up to a prior overview that was provided to the FAO Committee in December 2014. For the new directors, some who may not have heard this before and some who have not, and you'll hear more about it, but the Central Tri-State Project is scheduled in the MOVE Illinois program in 2020 to 2022 as a reconstruction project. Given the heavy levels of congestion, the high number of commercial vehicles on the tri-state, and critical nature of this corridor to the tollway system, it is imperative that staff secures extensive input on the long-term solution. In the coming months, several professional service contracts will be brought to the board for consideration to initiate a master plan for the 22-mile corridor. The master plan effort provides the opportunity to evaluate options ranging from reconstruction of the existing four lanes up to adding a lane in each direction with a wide inside shoulder, similar to what is currently being constructed on I-90. Staff is recommending the creation of a corridor planning council to effectively engage a wide range of stakeholders in establishing the long-range vision for the Central Tri-State. The Customer Service Committee members discuss potential members for the Corridor Planning Council. Members will include representatives of the various government transportation agencies such as IDOT, RTA, PACE, Chicago Department of Aviation, Cook, and DuPage counties. Additionally, mayoral representation from the communities surrounding the corridor will be appointed by their respective Council of Mayors organization. Other advocacy and civic organizations will be represented on the Corridor Planning Council to represent economic development, transportation, planning and policy, freight, and the environment. A working group will also be formed with several of the government and advocacy organizations to focus solely on water resource planning, sustainability, and surrounding environmental resources. The work of the Corridor Planning Council is anticipated to commence this summer. The council will be tasked with working collaboratively through spring 2016 to develop a report and recommendation to the Tollway regarding the broad regional vision for the Central Tri-State. These recommendations will be used to guide the work of the Tollway's master plan consultants as they begin the overall planning and design for the project. The Corridor Planning Council recommendations are anticipated by spring of 2016, while the master plan work will continue on into early 2017. The Customer Service and Planning Committee will be kept apprised of the work as it proceeds. And then the other thing we talked about was the excess ROW, row and annexation policy update. In March 2015, staff presented two draft land policies, excess right-of-way and annexation. At the direction and approval of the Customer Service and Planning Committee, these draft policies were put out for a 60-day public comment period, which extended through May 11, 2015. Staff provided a brief summary of the six comments received to date and noted that some additional comments may be forthcoming. Staff was given direction to convene a meeting with the commenting agencies to discuss comments and update the policies as necessary. The updated policies will be brought to a future Customer Service and Planning Committee for review and approval. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. So just briefly, again,
yes,
I'm sorry, for new directors, Director Dotson talked about two processes that we've employed. One is, as we're starting to think about new projects, having a discussion at the planning committee first, creating some sense of what that project will be, creating some community organizations and entities to talk with us about that project. So this is the Central Tri-State. And then as that process continues, the planning committee, customer service committee is informed about what we're hearing, what we're finding, and then as it begins to develop and there's a firmer view of what this project might look like, it comes back to the full board for comment. And then the second process that he talked about is the development of new policies for the tollway, and we basically have used the same kind of process where in the committees it's discussed, we bring it back to the full board in draft form, the board comments on the policies when we get it in a form we're comfortable with in draft still, we put it out for public comment, the public comment comes back through the committee, and then the final vote comes on the policy comes back as the staff reports on what has happened in terms of the public comment period. Is that fair? Description of what so it sounds more complicated than it is. And I'm sorry, I talk quickly, that, and I've already talked to Director Johnson, we want comment, we want people to participate. If I'm talking over you, do a timeout, raise your hand, do whatever you want, and we will have discussion. So any question on either of the committee reports? You'll learn more about those as we go forward. Okay. So I have nothing else, and I'll turn it over to Christy.
Okay, great. You. Thank you very much. Welcome to all the new directors and, of course, our existing directors who are back for their whatever number board meeting you're on. I'd also like to recognize the previous directors who aren't here today. They've done, you know, a fantastic job. You will all find that it's actually a lot of work to be on the Tollway Board. I know you're all up for that and recognize it, but there's a great deal of material to review. We really seek the input and comment from board members. We really want to have a board that's participating, and everybody has really lived up to that promise and expectation, and we appreciate that very much. So I have no doubt that that will continue to be the case with the new members. Just a couple of quick updates. This is usually when I give my updates, but also we go through kind of the overarching presentations for the meeting during my section of the agenda. Today's agenda will be a little bit different because we will be doing a presentation in front of each section, as the chair mentioned, just to make sure everybody has an understanding for that section of items on the agenda, how they were procured, and a little bit of an overview of that area. But a couple of quick things before we get into our presentations. You may or may not know, but the Illinois Tollway is working in partnership with the Natural Resources Defense Council and a couple of other state agencies to enhance and restore monarch butterfly habitats throughout the tollway system. So far, we've identified existing locations within the 900 acres of the tollway's right-of-way mitigation sites where we have planted or could plant milkweed, which is a natural habitat for the monarch. The monarch is actually, we learned at a previous meeting, and I wasn't aware of this myself, very important to the region's economy, actually, in addition to the environment. So we have a working group that's going to focus on assessing right-of-way footprints and look for additional opportunities to create these habitats. But I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our environmental team in particular, who have been working on these efforts, but also recognize one of our previous directors, Tom Weisner, who really brought this issue to our attention and advanced it at the board. He also suggested that we use this as the theme. We have maps. People still use those, apparently. And we have maps every year of the tollway system, and we had a cover art contest. And one of the suggestions was to do something on the monarchs, which I think would be could be produce some really neat art. So that will be a little later in the year, but we think that we'll probably use this monarch theme as the cover art contest. And just letting all of those anxious students out there who participate know in advance so they can really plan what their artwork is going to be for this year's competition. A couple of presentations today. I'll introduce first our quarterly financial review for the first quarter, which ended March 31st of 2015. Mike Pelsch, our Chief of Finance, is going to give the quarterly financial review. This is something that, well, as you can imagine, we do every quarter just to make sure everybody understands where we're tracking in terms of revenue and budget on a quarterly basis. So, Mike.
Okay. Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. As Chair Wolf mentioned, with your indulgence, I'll put a little bit of context into the quarterly review that maybe we wouldn't typically get. Illinois Tollway is a user fee financed agency, I think you're aware of it. We do not receive state or federal appropriations. And our fiscal year, unlike the state, is on a calendar year basis. We have a large document, I'm sure you'll receive at some point, several hundred pages outlining the details of the 2015 budget. The presentation this morning is to compare the results from the first 3 months of the year to what we had anticipated would occur during the first 3 months of the year. And again, a little bit more background in terms of the budget process itself and the budget schedule that was utilized to develop the budget that we're now comparing to. The schedule itself and the process by which we develop the budget conforms with the requirements in really two primary areas, the Toll Highway Act and the statute for the tollway, as well as the document of the covenants that we have with our bondholders, which are evidenced in a master trust indenture governing the $5 billion of essentially outstanding debt that we've issued over the years to finance construction, reconstruction, or renewal of the system itself. As you can see from this slide, the process really starts in earnest formally in October. We're required to request that the board approve a tentative budget. That budget can, for the subsequent year, that budget can be modified during the process. In fact, in November, we have a public review and comment on this tentative budget. We consider those public comments at the next board meeting and consider whether to incorporate any changes or modifications that might come out of that process. And finally, in December, it's typical that the board would vote on or approve the next year's calendar year budget. Formally, we have actually until the end of January to approve a budget, but it's always best to have a budget in place on the first day of the new fiscal year. So, with respect to the actual financial results, in 2015, the budget includes about $1.17 billion of revenue. And hopefully you can see from this slide that nearly all of that, 99% of this revenue, comes from toll revenue and what we call evasion recovery, which is essentially recovered tolls and fines associated with people that don't, with patrons that haven't paid at the point of the transaction. So 99%, almost entirely funded from toll revenue and transactions, essentially. Very small amount of investment income due to very small investment returns, especially on the short return or short end of the yield curve that we've all experienced recently. And concession revenue and miscellaneous income, which are the revenue from our agreements with the operators of the OACs, as well as some fiber optic revenue, some cellular tower revenue.
Well, I was just going to, could you mention about the restrictions around investment, just so people
Under the Toll Highway Act, the Public Funds Investment Act, the trust indenture, there's a series of different regulations with respect to what we can invest in, and it's typically investments that are fully guaranteed by the federal government, treasury obligations, time deposits that are guaranteed or fully collateralized. No corporate investments, no equities. So it really is a very limited portfolio of investments that we can utilize, designed to ensure the safety and security of the funds, obviously. That revenue, that $1,170,000,000, is allocated, and I put this kind of in the order of what the indenture, how the indenture requires that we prioritize the allocation of the revenue. First, it prioritizes to the operation of the facilities. You have to operate the facilities to collect the toll revenue. There's about $311 million of that $1,170,000,000 that is budgeted for operations in 2015. More than 70%, about 73% of the revenue that the toll is taking in 2015 is really going to be allocated to support infrastructure, either in the form of financing or paying debt service on bonds that we've previously issued to repair, renew, or expand the system, or for deposits to what we call our capital accounts, which at the bottom we refer to as renewal and replacement, a renewal and replacement account, as well as an improvement account. And in kind of broad terms, renewal and replacement, I think, is kind of what you would think it would be. It's the preservation or repair of the existing system, and improvements would tend to be expansions to the system.
So, I'm sorry, jump ball. Since we've referred to the indenture, is there somebody who would be willing, David, to give a one- or two-sentence explanation of what the indenture is?
100%.
Sure. You will get, obviously, the new trustees will get more of this when we are doing the orientation.
Of course, the best guy to do it is right there, but I'm happy to. And that is, since we have about a $5 billion public debt portfolio, which are held publicly, there's a party in the middle of that, currently Bank of New York, well, previously it was First National Bank of Chicago, for anybody who remembers that name. And we establish a trust indenture, which if we bring bonds to the market, we then commit to the trustee of those bonds, the bank, who watches out for the interests of the bondholders. We then commit to run our operations in a certain way. We will use money only in certain prescribed ways. We will not allow certain uses of our system other than ordinary course, and other good standard practices. A lot of our folks from the business community and those who have worked with other public debt issuances before, a very standard type operation for a trust indenture. Ours is first class, and we refer to it all the time, and it gets renewed, and we renew our commitments to it every time we bring another bond to the market. And we're in the midst of both refunding some bonds currently to get some better interest rates, and we're in the preparation stages for a new money issue that we expect relatively soon as well. So, Mike, more or less?
Yeah, that's as David mentioned, it's essentially the master document that provides the covenants or commitments or promises that we've made to investors with respect to how the facilities would be operated and the revenues utilized.
What institution is being used for that?
The actual the bank, the actual trust bank, is Bank of New York Mellon.
Is there a reason why we use the New York Bank and not an Illinois bank?
There are a very limited number of banks that are actually in this the municipal trust business for municipal bonds. Bank of New York happens to be successor to, going way back to First Chicago, actually. And we do an RFP process, and the successful bidder in the last procurement process was Bank of New York, so that's how we've ended up with them.
But we can give you the background paper on that request for proposal process and how it worked and who were the bidders and then how the selection was made.
Thank you.
Madam Chairwoman,
if I may,
do we have a bond rating? Does TOI, what is the TOI's bond rating?
Our bond rating is a AA minus with a stable outlook.
Which is one of the highest in the tolling.
It is one of the highest rated. Illinois Tollway is one of the highest rated toll agencies in the United States. I think there might be a couple that are AA without the minus. But
thank you.
Yeah. And we actually were on watch for downgrade by one of the agencies, the rating agencies, 4 years ago when we went out to market with this most recent Move Illinois program. We went and met with a lot of the agencies, a lot of the banks, and they took away the watch. They were particularly concerned, as you can imagine, that in Illinois that somehow the pension problem, the other financial problems would infiltrate our operations, and one of the things we were able to assure them was with this indenture and the way that we're structured and our non-appropriated operations here, that we felt very comfortable that we would continue to be able to operate as we have. And I think that's a reason that we've been able to keep our strong rating and therefore have a good market response to our bonds.
And when the board took action also on the revenue that we needed to fund our ongoing operations and the program, I think was another consideration for them.
And maybe when we get to the end of this presentation, Mike, you can just fill in a little bit on what David talked about in terms of going into the market for the next round.
Okay.
All right. Very good. And to finish out, I guess, the material on this slide, after operations, we do need to provide payments to the trustee who will ultimately pay bondholders. Those are estimated to be about $362 million in servicing $5 billion of debt that we have outstanding, as well as providing funding for $800 million of additional bonds that we would issue this year to help fund the capital needs this year. We allocate $497 million of the total revenue for capital, as I mentioned earlier. That's not all that we invest in capital, as I mentioned. About $800 million of bonds that we plan to anticipate issuing this year. The entire capital program is estimated to be about $1.6 billion in 2015. So a combination of toll revenue, bonds, and the revenue that we have on hand in these capital accounts are what would fund that $1.6 billion investment in 2015. The largest, Paul likes to hear this, the largest, biggest, broadest kind of capital investment that we've made on an annual basis in the history of the tollway. So it's a big year, a lot of effort will go into that this year. With respect to the actual results, I think Chair Wolf alluded to this earlier as well. Revenue totaled $271.6 million in the first quarter. Again, mostly toll revenue, $6.6 million more than budget. And not surprisingly, that's because vehicle traffic, both passenger cars and commercial vehicles, exceeded our projections for the first quarter. As you can see, 2.2% for passenger car transactions, higher than our estimate, and 4.2% for commercial vehicle transactions. The operating budget was actually slightly under. One caveat on that, some of the fact that it's $1.6 million less than what we anticipated for the first quarter, some of that's just due to the timing of when expenditures will occur this year. Debt service transfers were actually more than what we had budgeted at the start of the year, but that's due to the fact that we made, the board approved, an early call of one of the bonds that we have coming due. We have a $36 million bond that's due January 1 of 2016. We can call that out. on July 1 of 2015. Calling that early will save the tollway about $900,000. So what we decided to do was to call it early and to transfer the funds earlier in the fiscal year. That explains why in the first quarter we transferred more to the trustee than what we had anticipated in the original budget. And finally, the capital program, the expenditures actually exceeded what we projected for the first quarter, which in this case we believe to be a good thing. The winter did provide us an opportunity to do a little more work this year than I think what we would have typically done during the winter months. And that, again, a timing issue here. We were able to. A little more detail on the revenue. Again, you can see by the magnitude of the numbers, it is driven by toll revenue and evasion recovery. And you can see the first quarter transactions for commercial vehicles actually increased 4.9% year over year, first quarter of 15 over first quarter of 14. Passenger car transactions actually increased 7%. Now, some of that is due to the fact that the first quarter of 2014, if we care to think back to that time, was a particularly kind of difficult winter period. So the transactions were somewhat depressed in 2014, and that's why we see this really good growth in 2015. With respect to the operating budget, as you can see, the dollar amounts of the variances are relatively small, about 2.2% less than what we had anticipated to spend in the first quarter. The key drivers are timing in a number of these areas, particularly contractual services, materials and supplies, and equipment rental and maintenance. Those are really kind of timing issues of when we think contracts will be in place and the expenditures will be made. A couple of areas to point out. We did have some positive news on the fuel parts and fuel side. Again, fuel prices have come down. Weather this year was a little milder than the weather last year in terms of the number of snow events. Our utilities are costing more than what we budgeted for the first quarter. We anticipate this may occur throughout the entire year. And looking back, it's not that our utility expenses increased over last year. We probably missed the mark a bit in terms of the amount of usage we budgeted. So that's an area that we're going to watch for the year. And we'll have an opportunity to move funds around if it's necessary to increase the amount that we spend on utilities. With respect to the capital program, I guess I just point out a couple of areas here. As I mentioned, the capital program, we expended about $200 million. The bulk of the capital program, not all of it, but the bulk of it is Move Illinois, about $1.3 billion of the $1.6 billion. We also have a previous construction program, previous capital program, congestion relief program, approved back in 2005, that's kind of running out the last years of that program. But you can see the major investments here are in the Jane Addams, reconstruction of particularly the eastern section of the Jane Addams, and the Elgin O'Hare. So in summary, revenue, $6.6 million higher than budget, maintenance and operating expenditures slightly less, mostly due to timing issues, we believe. Debt service transfers were higher because we are calling out a bond early. And then the capital program expenditures were up slightly, we think aided by the fact that we were able to do some more work in the first quarter than what we might typically be able to do.
So why don't we pause there if there are any questions on the first quarter? And if not, we can ask Mike just to give us a quick overview of where we are in terms of debt. I'd just like to comment.
on Director Gomez's question. What we have is a process, okay, the process, I'm sorry to go back to process, but Christy Regnery keeps track of the questions that directors ask if we say we're going to get back to somebody, and you'll see in the minutes when you get them, those are always bolded in the minutes, and then we get a regular update on which questions have been asked, who's responsible for the answers, and then you'll get the answers to the questions, and if you don't, you can do something about it. Okay.
It's also helpful for us if we get any feedback from you in this discussion, because we'll be able to tailor the orientation to focus more on certain areas if there are particular things that you're interested in. Even with a lot of time for the orientation, there's still so much to go into. It's hard sometimes to pick and choose, you know, what to dive into a little more deeply. So, you know, we'll make sure we can dig into that a little bit.
Talk a little bit just about where we are in terms of our bonding and...
Sure.
Because there are some activities that are going to happen relatively quickly. We want to make sure you're aware.
Yeah. Previously, this year, the board authorized the issuance of $800 million two issues, a refunding issue and a new money issue that we've been working on in recent months. The refunding issue, bond issue, of course, to refinance higher interest debt is currently on hold because the bond market interest rates have risen in recent weeks. But the call dates, when we can first call those bonds out, are in 2018, so we do have some time to affect that refunding, so we continue to monitor that transaction. So the next transaction that appears that we would like to take to market is one that we've currently scheduled for mid-June pricing, with a closing either in late June or early July. It's $400 million of fixed-rate bonds. It will be underwritten by members of a group of underwriting firms that were selected, again, pursuant to a request for proposal process a couple of years ago. We have certain targets with respect to allocation of those bonds to the underwriting group. There's a group of about 10 firms in this group. Our goal overall in the program is for about 20 to 25% of the underwriting be conducted by MBE, WBE firms, and we're meeting that target. So the process would be, we finish the documentation over the next couple of weeks, get ratings from the rating agencies, arrange for the pricing of the bonds with the senior managers, the senior underwriters, the tollway, myself, and others will work with them on what we believe to be the appropriate kind of market clearing price, and negotiate that price, and then close the bond issue and get the proceeds in late June or early July to spend it on the $1.6 billion program needs this year.
And we notify directors by email as we're going through this process, so they'll know when we're going into the market, what the pricing is that we're getting, and how we're faring compared to what we thought we were going to get and what those costs and benefits are to us.
The program, the financing of the program was predicated on being able to achieve a cost of borrowing of 5.5% or better. In this market, we've been able to do that. Obviously, the rates have been closer to 4 or 4.25 on recent transactions, and we would hope to achieve, that kind of level again on this transaction.
And we do have a company that's our financial advisor, also selected for an RFP process that helps us to think about the market and when we should go in and what favorable conditions are.
So, Madam Chair, we have someone that does keep eyes open because, the market can fluctuate, and the economy and all that, so they're watching. Because you're right, now is the time for people to call up for cheap money. Now is the time to get it, so it makes sense. So we do have a firm, we say, to analyze and watch that for us.
We do have three financial advisory firms. One of them is a kind of our general financial advisor that's essentially employed. We have four. I'm sorry. Bill's our debt manager. He knows this better than I do. Four firms. Three of them rotate on transactions, but one we have that's advising us throughout the entire year.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mark?
Lots of good stuff in the appendix. Thank you.
Great, thank you. We had planned at this board meeting to actually give an update on one of our Move Illinois Capital projects. It's one of the new projects in the Move Illinois program, which some of the members here I know are very familiar with, and that is the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. One of those regional wish list items that had, I think, been on the agenda for decades that we were able to move to construction on as a result of the Move Illinois program. The east-west portion of this project has been designated as Illinois Route 390. I still frankly call the whole thing the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project, but there is now actually a designation for that portion, and we should be seeing a similar designation at some point for the bypass around O'Hare Airport, and you'll see a map of the project for those of you who aren't as familiar. Paul Kovacs is going to kick us off with a little bit of an overview, brief overview of the Move Illinois program, and then I think Menar, who works with Paul, is the point person on the project, Menar Nessa, is going to give a deep dive into the Elgin project specifically. I would mention, and you will see later in this presentation, late last year or early this year, it's blending together for me, we did announce what we would propose to be the toll rates for at least this first phase of the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. This project does involve us taking over an existing road and expanding it, as well as, of course, building the new access into and toward O'Hare Airport. We did designate those toll rates based on the 20 cent per mile that we had talked about publicly, you know, doing the best that we could in setting the toll rates at the different points. We did get some feedback from some of the communities that one rate in particular at Kedar Ramp was set at 25 cents. They felt that given the fact that people were traveling typically using that, or they felt people would be using it for a very short distance trip, that it didn't necessarily meet that 20 cent per mile designation. We asked our traffic engineer, CDM Smith, to go back and take a look at that. So you will see here that we did decide and did determine that the majority of the traffic using that access point, it's right there basically at 290, between the Elgin O'Hare and 290, the majority of that traffic would likely just be using it for a very short trip onto 290, and that it was worth it and appropriate for us to lower that rate slightly. We couldn't remove the rate completely, but we are proposing that that would go from 25 cents to 20 cents to make sure we're living within the bounds of that, what we said publicly, and also considering the fairness to the people who are using it. And I know, a couple of communities came forward with a concern in DuPage County and others, you know, saying that they thought we should look at that, and we did. So that's what we would propose. You'll see that a little later in the presentation, but I wanted to give that background. Now I'll turn it over to Paul Kovacs to discuss.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors. This slide right here gives you an overview of what we're going to be covering. We're going to give you a project status update on the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project, touch on some of the highlights of current ongoing construction. We are going to give you an overview of our construction plan and schedule for actually building some of the tolling infrastructure that you're going to begin to see out there on the road, and our schedule for opening up the different segments of the new roadway. We have an excellent team working on this project at the tollway. Rocco Zaccaro, Greg Stuckel, Deputy Chief, Bob Skidmore, Executive Project Engineer, and Menar Nashif. He's our Senior Project Engineer. He's living and breathing this job 24 hours a day. He knows the ins and outs all about it. I thought it would be a good opportunity for you to hear from him, because we're going to cover some of the construction progress photos. He's very intimately involved in that. But before I turn it over to Menar, I did want to give you a brief overview of the Move Illinois program in general. It's the largest capital program in the tollway's history, designed to improve mobility, relieve congestion, reduce pollution, link economies across the Midwest region. So it has very lofty goals. I think one of the things I especially appreciate about the tollway and enjoy about the tollway is that we do not waste time in delivering our improvements and meeting our promises. We're in the fourth year of the program right now. We've already provided new access to and from Champaign at our new interchange at 294-57. We've already completed and widened 37 miles of new interstate on I-90 between Elgin Toll Plaza and the Cherry Valley Toll Plaza up near Rockford. We've initiated construction on this Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor, and this corridor by itself is almost a program. It's $3.4 billion out of the $12 billion program, so it is a very big and challenging endeavor for us. And what all this is translating into, what the Move Illinois program is translating into, is $2.1 billion in construction awards, 132 contracts so far in the first 4 years, $784 million in professional services, that's engineering contracts so far, 109 of those. We're employing 770 unique vendors on our projects, 365 are brand new to the tollway since Move Illinois began. Roughly 540 of these are construction firms and 230 are professional service firms. Over the last 5 years, we've also made diversity a priority. $555 million of our expenditures has gone to DM and WB firms, that's disadvantaged businesses, minority businesses, and also women-owned businesses. 19% is what we're averaging right now on construction, 33.4% on the engineering side. We got 87 smaller contracts under $5 million that have been awarded since 2012, 12 small business set-aside contracts. These are a special program we created to engage small businesses in our work. And what we've been trying to do with Move Illinois is really provide opportunities to participate in this program at all different levels. And I think we've been doing a great job so far. This program is really creating a lot of jobs. It's spurring our economy. And it's providing access, new access to the region, which we know is going to have long-lasting economic benefits. So this year, and Mike alluded to it, promises to be the largest capital program year in the tollway's history. We know we're on target and plan to deliver over $1.4 billion in new infrastructure improvements. And without any further, unless there's any questions, I'm going to turn it over to Menar, and he's going to cover some of the nuts and bolts related to the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you, Paul. As Paul said, I'm going to give a brief overview of the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. We've actually come a long way. Construction started in December 2013, and there's been a lot of progress that's been made out there, and we're very excited about what's happening. But $3.4 billion project, massive part of the Move Illinois program, 91% funded by the Move Illinois program. We're also working to close that gap to make it 100% funded in partnership with DuPage County, Cook County. But the project is going to provide western access to O'Hare. It's going to be the first all-electronic toll road in the region, and definitely for the tollway system. But it is it's a very highly traveled corridor. Major traffic generators within the project study area, O'Hare Airport, major freight corridors, Village of Franklin Park Industrial Park, Elk Grove Village Industrial Park, and then areas up and down 290. So scope of work on this project, widen and rehabilitate the existing Elgin O'Hare from Lake Street out on the west to where it ends, ended before construction, which is at Rowling Road. And then we're going to extend the project to O'Hare, to the west side, and then we'll be building a brand new western access corridor along the west side of O'Hare Airport, connecting the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway with the Tri-State Tollway on the south. So this project, primary purpose and need on this project is really to improve travel efficiency, reduce congestion. There's congestion that occurred before construction where the Elgin O'Hare Expressway ended at Rowling Road. There was a traffic signal there before construction started. That was causing congestion. Also improving access to O'Hare. There's congestion on the arterial system, flanking both north and south of the Elgin O'Hare and the Thorndale Avenue corridor east of 290. So this project is really going to address a lot of those needs. But construction status, again, construction started here in December 2013, and we've come quite a long way since then in such a short time period. But this is showing the construction status, the The circles in red are showing contracts that have already been substantially completed. So really we're looking at improvements, widen and add lane on the existing Elgin O'Hare from Roselle Road to Meacham Medina Road, as well as the noise wall insulation contracts that have completed there. Also, Devon Avenue Bridge over I-290 has been reconstructed, and that is also substantially complete. And then also a new bridge up at the I-90 and Elmhurst Road interchange that's going to carry, or it's not open to traffic yet, but it'll carry Elmhurst Road over I-90, and that's the first part of the diverging diamond interchange that's being constructed up there. The contracts in green are where the construction is ongoing. So there's 16 ongoing construction contracts. And as you can see, that's primarily concentrated out along the existing facility and then as part of the massive reconstruction at the 290 interchange, as well as advanced work happening east on the Thorndale Avenue corridor. And then the contracts shown in yellow here are those that are going to start in 2015. So we have some very big starts that are upcoming here in 2015. We're going to be awarding one of the first contracts for the main contracts for the Elgin O'Hare extension, and that's the number 20 there. I don't know if you can see it between Park Boulevard and Arlington Heights Road. So that's going to be presented here later today, and first one of three main major construction contracts for the Elgin O'Hare extension east of 290. The other notable start that's construction is actually going to start here next month is construction of the second flyover that will carry the complementary movement to the flyover that's under construction now at the 290 interchange. That will carry the south to east movement. And that's where we're reconstructing the 290 interchange, and it'll be a three-level interchange there. So first flyover is under construction now. Second flyover is going to start here next month. In terms of construction implementation, we are building this project in segments, with the first segment being the western end. So again, construction is ongoing on that west end. It's widening and rehabilitating the existing Elgin O'Hare from Lake Street to Rowling. So we're anticipating completing those improvements by the end of 2015, along with a free flow connection to and from the west at 290. So that'll kind of represent the first segment that's going to be opened as a toll facility. From there, the next section that would open is the extension. So we'll be extending the facility then to Route 83. That'll be the second segment that'll open, and that's anticipated to be completed by the end of 2017. And then we'll be making the turn around the corner near O'Hare and extending the facility down to Irving Park Road south of O'Hare. So we'll be completing improvements from 83. Completing the route, the Illinois Route 390 Elgin O'Hare improvements east of 83, and then starting that construction on the western access corridor. The remainder of the corridor is essentially scheduled to be complete by the end of 2025. There is activity that's occurring, though, in the design phases, land acquisition phases. There's two other contracts that are going to be presented here today for building demolition. That's primarily for work focused in the Franklin Park area, where there's some land that's been acquired, some relocation that has to occur, and buildings that need to be demolished. And those are kind of long lead items that we need to get out ahead of right now. But we are going to be looking for opportunities here to to move work up, and we're already doing that. There's design work. Part of the project involves constructing a new southbound exit ramp from the Tri-State Tollway. The County Line Road, it's down at the bottom here. That design work is progressing and being advanced. There's also the Elmhurst Road interchange that's scheduled to be completed by the end of 2016, and that's being coordinated with the I-90 widening and reconstruction project. But in terms of the western end here, as was mentioned earlier, that's the first section. It's going to be opened You are going to start seeing toll gantries, the overhead gantries that are needed for tolling and tolling equipment. That's going to start to be installed here next week. So starting Monday night is when the first gantries are anticipated to be start to go up. So I do have quite a few pictures here that I'd like to go through, and these are we have some great shots that'll kind of show the progress that's being made out there. This is the Devon Avenue Bridge. This is actually a shot looking north at the Devon Avenue over I-290 bridge. This is the Hamilton Lakes office park on the right, and this bridge was substantially completed at the end of last year. And as you can see, all lanes on Devon Avenue are open. And then at the bottom, underneath the bridge, that's been opened up here with the reconstruction to allow for construction of the ramps that will service the 290 interchange that's also under construction now. Another close-up on the Devon Avenue Bridge. This project was a great example of multi-agency collaboration. So we had the tollway constructing it, Devon Avenue, a Cook County Highway Department roadway, I-290 and IDOT roadway, and then Elk Grove Village and the Village of Itasca were actually able to cost share in this project to so that we could incorporate some of these aesthetic elements. And the bridge, I think it really looks nice, and it's turned out very well.
It is something that the communities along the corridor have indicated that they're very interested in. Some additional aesthetic treatment, you know, things that maybe go above and beyond what would be typical for our design standard, which we completely understand and have been partnering, you know, as we've been moving forward with the project to make sure that we can incorporate, you know, if there are special design features or, you know, anything that just for aesthetic treatment that communities want, that we can incorporate that with a cost share of some type.
And that's, if I may, Madam Chairman, that's something that's been phenomenal with the tollway. I can speak from a community that's been very involved. Director Schulstrom and I have worked for a number of years on the Elgin O'Hare. That is something that's been absolutely phenomenal from all the mayors' perspective. I've talked to a lot of mayors, as you know. Be able to do something like that, the timing's right for the community, the timing's right for you, to be able to partner in and make these kind of enhancements that really sends a positive message out to the people that are coming to our community or other areas. And I hope we continue that. As we talk about the other projects coming along, that has been one of the best things that has happened, is the tollway reaching out and forming these focus groups that you talked about, Director, and all the rest, with the mayors and local communities involved. That is a huge, huge improvement. And I think that's why things are moving along as well as they are. And I think it's a win-win. The more we can work together, the better it is for everyone. And I want to thank the tollway for what they've done. And one of the reasons I got interested in the tollway is because of the work you do and the way we're working together. And I want to thank you on behalf of all the mayors. We talk about it all the time. We thank the tollway for being partners with us.
Good to hear.
Yes.
We want to thank you and the mayors and Director Schulstrom for all the work. You know as much about this probably as any of the other directors here, or more.
So another shot of the Devon Avenue bridge. Again, the Devon Avenue lettering has been incorporated here, decorative railing, and then a form liner on the parapet wall here on top of the bridge. Raleigh Road intersection. This is what it looked like back in December of 2013. People traveling through that intersection now probably don't remember that. But this is actually a shot looking south. And as you can see, congestion on the north leg of Raleigh Road heading southbound, high volume of truck traffic. And then most significantly here, traffic before construction started or shortly after had to stop at a signalized intersection at the end of the Elgin O'Hare. And so that's traffic in all directions, both on Rowling and then on the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. And that was really, that caused a lot of congestion in the AM rush, PM rush, on both directions. So now we fast forward here, a recent shot of the construction. We are building a grade separation there. It's going to carry Rowling Road over the new Illinois 390 corridor. The west half of the bridge has been constructed. That was completed last November, and traffic was switched on Rowling Road onto that new west half of the bridge. And then down below, traffic is free flow through that area in both directions. So there's definitely been a noticeable benefit to traffic there. That congestion that existed in the mornings is virtually gone. There are still signals at the 290 interchange, but there's essentially free flow connection eastbound onto 290, and that's where a lot of the traffic today is destined for. We anticipate completing this here later this summer, and then both directions of traffic will be accommodated on both the newly constructed west half and newly constructed east half of the bridge. Here's another shot. This is the 290 interchange project, and this is really another example of it's kind of a project within a project. It's a massive reconstruction of the interchange. We're building a three-level interchange there with two flyover ramps. And there's multi-agency involvement here. We have IDOT, Tollway, FHWA, and the local municipalities. But this is kind of a recent shot that kind of just illustrates the congestion that's seen today. So you still have...